Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
He isn't the was and maybe and has been. He is. Amen? And today's Palm Sunday. Today we enter into what's called Passion Week. And maybe that's a new term for you. And maybe Palm Sunday is a new term for you. You don't know, you know, why do they call it that? And so we're going to learn that today. And we're just going to get excited and stirred up about Easter is coming on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. But today I want to tell a message to you. And I love this. I preach a variation of it every Palm Sunday. And this year got a new twist. Amen. So we're going to talk today about the miracle of the donkey. Donkey. And you know, there's if you've ever been called a donkey or a variation of that term, I got good news for you. It's a good thing, right? It's a good thing. And so, because God uses donkeys, and so some of you guys, you can say, he can use me, right? He can use me. And so today is Palm Sunday, and what that means is, and where we get that from, is when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem for Passover, and maybe in your Bible, I know in my Bible, you know, it has little headings over certain parts. It says, the triumphant entry. And this is when Jesus is entering in, and we're going to look at this in Luke chapter 19. But an interesting part of this is that this story, the story of the donkey, the story of Jesus' triumphant return, the story of Palm Sunday, is found in all four of the Gospels. And you know, I'm a teacher by nature, and so I always like to explain what the, you know, sometimes we think everybody knows everything about the Bible, but really they don't know. And I think I told you guys the story, another pastor was telling a story, and they said after service one day, a young woman came up to and said, I really like those words that you have on the TV screen, but what are the dot dots for? And she was referring to, when we say Luke chapter 19, what's next? Dot, dot, and then the verse number. She had no idea what that was. She had no idea because she'd never been around that. And so just a little helper here, because sometimes we don't know some things, and just because you don't know it doesn't mean that you don't love the Lord. You know, there's a lot of things I don't know, but I still love the Lord, right? There's some books in the Bible that are very hard to read for me, but I still love the Lord. And one time I didn't even know there was a Second Peter, but I still love the Lord. Amen? And I might not know where all the books of the Bible are off the top of my head, but I still love the Lord. Amen? And so if you don't know something, it doesn't mean you don't love the Lord. It just means you haven't learned that part yet, right? And so if you haven't learned this part yet, today's your day. Amen? And so the Bible is broken up into Old Testament and New Testament, the old and the new. How many like new stuff? I love new stuff. How many like to go antiquing? Praise the Lord. Let's pray for you in the name of Jesus. You know, but it's like the old stuff and the new stuff. But, you know, we're in new stuff territory. The Bible says that we live in the New Testament. That's what applies to us. Amen. That's our book. And so the New Testament is where we're at right now. And in the beginning, it starts out with what's called the Gospels, and that's the life of Jesus. And it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many heard of those guys? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they wrote their account of what Jesus did while he was on the earth. And they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. So we know the Word of God, the Gospels are the Word of God. But everything that Jesus did is not in all four of the Gospels. Some things are in one and some things are in another, but some events are in all four. And Jesus' triumphant entry, guess what? It's in all four. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so when you have four people telling a story, how many know you're going to get different details? The story is still the same. You know, just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the stories in there, the events, I like to call them, because they're not, sometimes when we say stories, it sounds like it's made up. And they're not made up. These are historical events. This happened, right? And so they're all in stories, the events that are in these four Gospels, you know, Mark wrote about some things and Luke wrote about some things and John wrote about others. And each one, inspired by the Holy Ghost, has their personality on it. Just like if I were to see something, and let's say that me and Angie and Anais and Anthony were all at a party, like last night, we were all at a party last night, we were at a wedding, and we all saw the same thing. But how many know when we tell our story, we're going to tell the truth, but we may have, like, my story, I'm going to say, oh, you know, this happened. Angie's might be a little longer than mine, right? And a little more animated, right? And Anais, she's probably right there in the middle. And then Anthony's going to be like, yeah, I was there. Right? You know, I was there. Yeah, that happened. And so when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a lot of times when we read it, if we read all four of them together, we're going to get what? The fullest picture we can. And if you're being fancy, how many want to be fancy this morning? Being fancy, you call that the harmony of the Gospels. You got to say it like that. The harmony of the Gospels, because it's in all four. So you have the harmony. They each have, just like when the band, when they sing different songs, like one person sings one note, the soprano, then we have the alto, then we have the tenor, and then we have the bass, right? They each sing a different note, but when it comes together, it's beautiful. And that's how the harmony of the gospel, each one might sing a different note, but they all come together and sing the same story. Isn't that good? Now you can be fancy and be like, oh yeah, the harmony of the Gospels, right? And be fancy about it. And so we're going to look at, usually I read this out of Mark, but this year I love to start here, and then I encourage you to do this too. Start here in Luke chapter 19, verse number 28 on today, and then all this week, I just encourage you to just, you know, I call it the week to the cross because, you know, this time next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Which is the most impactful, eventful day in all of mankind's history. Amen. It changed everything. And so I would encourage you to read and follow Jesus and read all four of the Gospels so you get the biggest picture. Because you know what? I've got some details and Angie has some details. And Anais has some details, and Anthony has details, but all of us together, you're going to feel like you were there. Amen? You're going to feel like you were there. Same thing with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You read all of them, you're going to feel like you were there. Amen? And so here we go. We've got Matthew chapter 19, verse number 28, the miracle of the donkey. I love it. Because, you know, if you think about a donkey, well, we'll get to that. Donkeys are very interesting, but we'll learn a little bit. He said, when he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. Verse number 29 says, and it came to pass when he, this is Jesus, when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And so let's just stop there. We see that Jesus is going into Jerusalem, and as he's going, he's seeing all the people, he's seeing all the villages, everybody's going there for Passover. Jesus knows what's coming. He knows the cross is coming. He knows that he is carrying the weight of the world literally on him. He is carrying all the sin of the world on him. He's carrying that, and he knows that. And so he's coming in, and he tells two of his disciples, he says, go into the village, go before, and he said, you're going to find a colt tied, which no one has ever set. And if we read this, a colt is a donkey. It's a baby donkey. It's not full grown yet. And so we see, and then he says, loose it and let it go. So those who were sent went their way and found it. Listen, just as he had said to them. Listen, whatever God has told you, it's always going to be just as he has said. Always. And he says, just as he has said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owner of it said to them, why are you loosing this colt? Now, if somebody was getting your car, you know, just walked up and got in your car, what would you say? You'd be like, hello, that's my car, right? And so the owner of this colt comes and says, hey, you know, what's going on here? Because donkeys weren't cheap. And he says, this is such a powerful statement. They said, the Lord has need of him. the Lord has need of him. And you know, then they brought them to Jesus. And so obviously the owner of the colt was like, oh, okay, Jesus, the Lord needs him. And let them take this colt, this donkey. But the thing I want us to see here is what Jesus is saying. Number one, whatever Jesus says is true. But he wasn't like just making this up out of the blue, because what he is saying was already written and prophesied 1900 years before that day. Because in Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9, they say the Lord, your Lord will come, your king will come. Guess how? Riding on a colt, riding on a donkey, riding on a young donkey. And you know what? We got it up here. He says, oh no, this is King James Version. Apologize. Is there any children in here? I forgot. They texted me this morning and said, we only have King James. Is that okay? And I was like, yeah, I forgot. All right, here we go. He says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout out, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a beep and, and upon a colt, the foal of a beep, right? You know, let's not curse in church. But that used to be a very common word, right? But see, the thing is, what I want us to see is Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9. This was written 1900 years before the triumphant entry. When God prophesies something, it comes to pass. But if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find out that each one of them referred to the donkey differently. One said it's a donkey, one said it's a colt, one said it's a foal. Because they knew. And so Jesus says, hey, I want you to go and I want you to get this donkey and I want you to bring it to me. Why? Because the Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of it. So let's keep going. And so, but as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And then they brought him to Jesus and they threw their own clothes on the colt and they sat Jesus on him. And when he went, this is where we get Palm Sunday from. And he said, and many went, oh, I should read it from here. As the Lord needs us, so they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. And as he rode along, the crowds, remember there's a crowd there. Scholars say that in this area, because all of Israel is going, that over a million people are in this tiny part of the country. They're all going there for Passover. And so how many know that'd be a crowd? A crowd of a million people? We saw some crowds yesterday. If you saw the news, the marches, all that kind of stuff. And so it says, as he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. And when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Now, this is where we get that harmony of the Gospels, because this is Luke, and Luke doesn't, he doesn't say anything about the palms, but over in Mark talks all about the palms. See, they were so excited that the king had come that they didn't even want him to put his foot even on the donkey. They wanted to make his entry. And so here's this crowd, and they're all praising him, and they're saying, the king has come, the king has come. But here's the thing they thought. The Jews thought that Jesus was coming to release them from the bondage of being under the Romans. They thought that he was coming to change a political atmosphere. But Jesus had bigger plans. Listen, Jesus is bigger than politics. Jesus is bigger than any law. Jesus is bigger than all of that. Don't let that kind of stuff drag down who Jesus is. And so they thought Jesus was coming to free them of the oppression that they were under the Romans. But Jesus was coming to free them from the oppression of sin. He was coming. He was carrying the sin of the world. He was coming to die for sins that he never did. He was coming to die for ours. And so they were all excited because, you know, how many know when a crowd starts going? You ever been in an atmosphere and people start, you know, people are chanting or people are cheering for a team? You're probably not even on that team, or you don't even know who it is, and you just get caught up in it, right? Anybody ever been there? It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or anybody ever been in a restaurant and all of a sudden, you know, they start singing happy birthday to somebody? How many sing along? I always sing along. I'm like, oh, join the party, you know? I wasn't invited, but I'm here, you know, happy birthday, right? And so I'm sure a lot of this crowd is just kind of like, oh, this is the king. Yeah. But there was a lot of people there that they recognized. They knew the prophecy. They recognized what was happening. And they were like, he's come to free us. But Jesus had something bigger. You know, Jesus always has something bigger for you than you know. Always. Because the Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 3 that we can't even contain or understand or fathom how big God's plans are for us, how good they are for us. We can't even wrap our puny heads around it because it's just so much bigger. And so here this crowd, this crazy crowd, they're all cheering and cheering and cheering. But you know what? It's a lot of these same people that in just 5 days are saying, crucify him. They're saying, crucify him. And so here Jesus is triumphantly entering, and they're putting their coats down on the road, and then they're taking palm branches. Is anybody going ding, 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 ding? Palm branches, and they're laying them on the road, and that is why today is called Palm Sunday. And we know what palm branches are. You preach this message up in Indiana, you'd have to show everybody what it is. But we know what they are, right? Palm branches. We see them all the time. Palm branches. And so all these people, the followers of the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. You know, we need to remember to praise God for the miracles we've seen. To praise God for his provision. To praise God for the job we have. Even, you know, you're like, man, I don't even like my job. Hey, thank God you've got a job. Amen? Thank God you've got a job. You know, your husband might be getting on your nerve, but thank God he loves you. Amen? Thank God. You know, there's those tiny miracles. Like, I haven't killed you yet. Woo! Praise the Lord. It's a miracle, right? You know, we need to praise God for these miracles. For the big ones and the small ones. You say, well, God hasn't done anything in my life. You're here. The devil hasn't killed you yet, right? You're still here. That's a miracle. But what I want us to look at here is just a few of the things and just kind of dive in here and just kind of pull it out and say, man, I want to understand the miracle of the donkey. And the first miracle is that donkey was where it was when God needed it. When Jesus said to two of his disciples, he said, I want you to go ahead. So he wasn't there. He didn't know it was, you know, he knew it was there by faith. How many know Jesus had to use faith too? And so he said, go ahead, and there you will find a colt tied to a post. Loose it and let it go. Mark says, and if anyone asks you why you're doing it, say to them, the Lord has need of it. But what did that donkey do? What was his role? That donkey was used when they brought that donkey to Jesus. They put their coats on it, and Jesus, the Son of God himself, sat on it, and he was used to carry the message of Jesus Christ through the crowd. And so when I talk about the miracle of the donkey, and just like that King James Version, the way they put it, you know, maybe you felt like that a few times, or maybe somebody's thought you were that a few times, but you can still be used to carry the message of the gospel. Amen? You might be the biggest donkey there is, but you can still be used to carry the message of the gospel. Amen? The Lord still has need of you. He still has need of you because, you know, if you think about of all the ways, now this is the triumphant entry, right? This is Jesus' day. This is, you ever notice in the gospel, sometimes Jesus would say, don't tell anybody what you saw or something like that. Like sometimes he didn't want to be seen because of the crowd or he had to manage that a little bit, you know, when you read about him. But today, this triumphant entry, he wants to be seen and he wants to see the people because he knows where he's going. He knows what's happening. And of all the ways, this is Jesus, the King of Kings, the Son of God himself. He's done miracle after miracle. He has thousands of people who are following him. I mean, people love him because he's Jesus. Of all the ways that he can make a triumphant entry, he picks a donkey. I mean, a donkey. Donkeys are very unattractive. They have very, I mean, I think they're cute because I'm an animal lover. But if you compare like a donkey to like a beautiful Mustang horse, I mean, they had horses. I mean, you'd be like, right? Or you know, like just a regular horse, donkey, horse, you know. But everything Jesus, everything God does, and then to prophesy it 1900 years before, that's how important it was. It's going to be a donkey. Because Jesus shows in every action that he takes that he uses the what everyone else thinks is not the right one. Hey, man, you might look in the mirror and you may be like, I'm not the right one. I'm not the right one to bring the gospel. I'm not the right one to talk to about Jesus. I'm not the right one to serve the Lord. I'm not the right one to lay hands on the sick. I'm not the right one. But Jesus always uses what doesn't seem like the right one to show us you are the right one. Amen. Let me tell you something. I do not seem like the right one to pastor a church in the eyes of a lot of people. But you know what? I'm a donkey. Amen. I'm a donkey. And so you may not seem like the right one. Just be like, I'm the donkey. I'm the donkey. And you know, you think about donkeys, if you read about them, like they're stubborn. You know, a horse will work itself to death. It will. Because horses, and I know if you're a horse lover in here, but it's just true facts. Horses are so driven to please, and they're not super, super, super bright in that area. They have great strengths. I don't want any horse lovers write me letters. They have great strengths, but they will work themselves to death. A donkey? No. Nope. A donkey is stubborn. A donkey is very smart. A donkey is what's called a beast of burden. They carry and they pull. They carry and they pull. But they've got a personality. They've got a will, and they can not do the right thing. Sound like any donkeys you know? Right? And they got big heads. Like literally, they have very big heads compared to their bodies. And they're just, they have big ears. They have a very large nose. And that's what Jesus picked. I mean, Jesus could have said to his disciples, go into the village and there you will find a Clydesdale. There you will find a thoroughbred. There you will find, but no, he said, there you will find a donkey. And not even a grown donkey. A baby donkey. One of the gospels say it's a foal with its mother that no one has ever ridden before. And so maybe you're here today and you're like, I'm not the right one. I've never done anything like this before. You need to remember that's who Jesus said he had need of. He said, go into the village. You're going to find a donkey there. He's going to be tied up. And so maybe you feel like, man, I'm tied to this job that I'm in. I'm tied to this. I'm tied to that. But you know what? We've got to look at it in a different way and say, you know what? Maybe God has me here. Maybe God has me in this job. Maybe God has me with these people. Maybe God has me here. Maybe I'm tied here because I'm waiting for the time that God's going to come and say, I've got need of you here. We need to be where we're supposed to be when God needs us. Amen? We need to be at, when I was reading this, it just rose up in my heart. We need to be at our post. You know, where's your post? That's like a military term. Man your post. We need to man our post because Jesus has need of us. You know, those of you, and for me too, you know, we're in a place, we're in a spot, God has us there, and God's going to bring somebody across our path who's going to need exactly what we have, who's going to need us to carry, just like that donkey carried Jesus, carried the one who would pay the price for all sin. He carried the Savior of the world through the crowd. He took the message where it needed to be. And you know what? That's what you and I need to understand. We're in a spot, and Jesus is going to be, he's going to come at you at your job when you're sitting at your desk one day. He's going to come when you're waiting on customers. He's going to say, I've got need of you. I've got need of you. You need to carry the message. Amen? We're all donkeys. We're all donkeys. We're all not the one anybody maybe expected. but we're the one that Jesus, we carry Jesus. Amen? So the next time somebody calls you a donkey, be like, thank you. Thank you. It's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me. I'm a carrier of Jesus. They'll look at you like you're crazy, but it's true, right? It's true. Thank you so much. Even if it's that King James donkey. Thank you. Thank you. And so what do we got to see here? We got to see the Lord has need of you, even if you don't feel like you're the right one. That's why Jesus chose the donkey. He said, and Zachariah says he's going to come lowly. He could have come in on the Ferrari of the day, whatever that was. But he came in on the donkey. He used the least likely. So if you feel like you're the least likely, thank God. Let's be at our post. We got to man our post because Jesus has need of us. We got to have our head in the game. People's lives depend on the message of Jesus. Amen? And as we go into Passion Week, as we go into Passover, not Passover, we're going to they're celebrating Passover here on this Sunday. But as we go on Palm Sunday, entering into Easter, as we go into there, let's walk out of here today and say, man, I am the donkey. I'm the miracle donkey. Just like it was a miracle that donkey was there, that was prophesied 1900 years before, and it was right where Jesus told him, and the owner was like, oh, the Lord has need of it? Well, go on, take it. You know, just like that, we need to go into this week and say, man, I'm the donkey. And just like that donkey carried Jesus through the crowd, I'm going to carry Jesus through my crowd. I'm going to carry the message through my crowd. I'm going to be the one the Lord needs because God needs you, and God needs me to share the message. Jesus didn't die on the cross so we could have Easter bunnies. He died on, Easter bunnies are good, but they're not what Easter's all about. Jesus died on the cross, not for a holiday, but for a new life. Amen. So we could be free from things. And you know, when you look at this donkey and you see how he was and how he carried that in there. And I love that Jesus, just like the song we sang, Jesus borrows things. You ever think about that? Jesus borrows things. The song we sang, he said, the tomb he borrowed for 3 days. Jesus borrowed a boat to preach in. Jesus borrowed a lunch to feed 5,000. Jesus borrowed an upper room to meet his disciples. He borrowed a room to have the Last Supper. He borrowed a tomb that he only needed 3 days. Jesus borrows things. He's just like, listen, you got what I need. I'm gonna use it for a little while. And you know what? He borrowed that donkey. Jesus wants you to be like, hey, you can have me. Jesus looks in us and he sees who we are. Because one thing I love about it is that Jesus chose a donkey and the donkey did what he was born to do. He's born to carry things. He's born to carry things. They didn't want that donkey to run a race. They didn't want him to, because how many know he's not going to win? They didn't want him to walk through the desert for miles and miles like a camel does. How many know that's not what he's made to do? And you know what? Jesus is going to use you the way that you're made. Just like he used that donkey the way that he was made, he's going to use you the way that you're made. You know, there are certain people that I'm able to talk to. Like I'll walk up to them and they're real open because of the way I look, the way I sound. They're going to be like, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, blah, blah, blah. There are other people that maybe, you know, that Anthony's going to be able to reach that if I were to walk up to that crowd, they'd be like, but he'd walk up and be like, what's up? Yeah. Right? If I walk up to that same crowd and go, what's up? They'd be like, what the heck? Right? There are people that you can talk to and people that I can talk to because of people we know, because of where we're from, because of what we do for a living, because of how we talk, all these kind of things. God's going to use you. You don't have to become a thoroughbred. You don't have to become a camel. You don't have to become anybody. You got to be the you that God made you to be. Just like that donkey, he was born for that day. He was born for that day. He was born for it. And you know what? There are people, you man your post, just like that donkey, and God's gonna be like, I got need of you. I got need of you. You know, you think about why, you know, one thing about that, you know, I just think about the story over and over again. And if Jesus had just walked through that crowd, I mean, how many know walking through a crowd of a million people is going to be pretty tough? But he was raised up a little bit, and that donkey brought him exactly where he needed to be. That donkey carried the sins of the world because they were on Jesus. Amen? And so when we think about the miracle of the donkey, the miracle is on the donkey. You're the donkey. And that may not sound, you go to lunch today and say, hey, what was church about? Well, the pastor said I was a donkey. But in a good way. You're born for this time. You're born for it. So how do I man my post? How am I going to carry the message? You know, let's show people, just like they were singing of the praises of what God has done. Let's remember to tell people what God has done in our life. Amen? People need something real. They need a real Jesus. Not something fake that they've heard about or some idea or somebody who flaked out on them and now they're turned off to God. Anybody ever met somebody like that? They put all their hope in a person and not Jesus and now they're turned off to Jesus. Let's be that real. Let's be the donkey that God can count on. Let's be where we're supposed to be. Amen? Where are you supposed to be? Sometimes we're changing our lives and making all these decisions with never asking God, God, where am I supposed to be? Because I want to man my post. Because I know you got need of me. God has need of you. You may not be perfect. You may not look like the type that God could use. You may have a little bit of a stubborn reputation. Whatever it is, God's looking down and he's saying, I got need of you. Man your post. And when it's time, we need to be loosed. Amen? Need to be loosed. When is time? Whenever Jesus comes into things just start breaking off of us, don't they? And as they do, he got loosed and he carried Jesus right where he needed to be. Man, let's carry Jesus where he needs to be. Some of your coworkers need Jesus. Some of your neighbors need Jesus. Tomorrow when you walk into work, before you get there, just be like, I'm the donkey. I'm carrying Jesus in here today. Amen? Because these people need Jesus. And they may not think very highly of me. They may think I'm this. They may think I'm that. But God has need of me. God has need of me right here, right now. Amen? With my big head, my big ears, my big nose, my stubborn personality, God has need of me. Amen? God still needs me. And he's gonna use me. When we think about this, I just want to encourage everybody here today that it may seem like we're not the one. Imagine that donkey. He's never been ridden before. Every day he's taken out and tied to a post. And that may feel like your life. I've never done anything great for God. I've never been used by the Lord. I don't feel like I matter. And I just feel like I've been in the same spot for a long time. But you know what? Don't get so caught on that. Because it may feel like that, but that's not how it is. God's got a plan for your life. He's got a need of you. But you know, that donkeys are stubborn. He could have dug his heels in, and he could have, as soon as Jesus got on his back, he could have, you know, that donkey could have got him off, just like you can, just like I can. We can have our own will and our own ideas, but we got to say, I've got a role to play. Lord, use me. Use me. How are some ways that, as donkeys, we can get ready for Easter? Number one way is to pray. To pray. You know, at Easter, the hearts of people are just more open to the things of God. That's just the facts. It's just the presence of God, everyone's the focus. It's just how it is. People are more open. Their hearts are more open to the things of God. Let's carry Jesus in there. Let's look for those open doors and carry Jesus in. Let's pray. There's a lost world. You know, people are so thinking so much that if this changes and this changes, then my life will be so much better. No, it may be better for a moment, for a minute, but only Jesus can change your life for a lifetime. Amen. Only Jesus can bring peace that passes understanding. Only Jesus can mend a broken heart. Only Jesus can make you whole. Not a person, not a relationship, not money, not a new job. It can't do it. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus. And we need to pray for people because they need Jesus. I would encourage you, let's be the donkey. We're carrying Jesus. We're carrying him. Let's carry him into our workplace. Maybe you've left Jesus in the car. Every day when you go to work, you're like, all right, Jesus, I'll be back at 5, right? You know? Can't bring you in here. Listen, we're not talking about going and you know, and just going into your work and, you know, getting on the intercom. Attention, attention, you're all a bunch of sinners and you need to go to church with me on Sunday. Listen, that's not going to work, all right? Or just calling everything out that everybody does, you know, wrong. Like, you need Jesus, you know? That doesn't work. But when you carry Jesus, when you let Jesus be higher than you, and you just listen and let him lead, oh, you'd be so surprised how many people are open to the things of God. But you got to move. You got to get away. You got to move. Just like that donkey had to move, you got to move. And be like, Lord, you can use me. I've shared many times of just the, you know, when I haven't always been a pastor. I worked, you know, different places. I've shared many times how I would share my testimony and just very, very slightly I would pray because I know it doesn't seem like it, but I'm kind of a shy person. You can ask Angie whenever we're together. I'm like, hey, go ask them this, you know, because I don't want to do it. But it doesn't seem like that because I'm standing up here talking, but I'm a pretty shy person. I don't really like to talk to people I don't know very much. But I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm trying to be like Ann Mott. I'm getting better. But the thing is that just a little thing. I would pray to the Lord, like, Lord, use me. Use me because you know my limitations. You know that I'm shy. You know I don't like to talk to people. And I would pray and I would ask the Lord, I'm like, Lord, just open doors for me. If you open the doors, I'll walk through. If you open the doors, I'll walk through. And I've told this story a lot of times, but I was at the store one day, and they had this little tiny, it was like this big, it was so small, and it said, Jesus is number one, a little pin, and I put it on my collar, and I wore it. And I'll tell you, that little pin opened more doors than you can imagine. I led more people to Jesus because of that pin. I invited more people to church because of that pin. I didn't have to say anything. I would just walk up, I would just carry Jesus. Just like that, I was just the donkey. I was the donkey of the day. And I would just walk up and people would be like, oh, are you a Christian? I am. And then I'd be like, are you? And then we'd just start talking. And years ago, back when the church was younger, Pastor Mark did this thing. And we tracked all the people. Over half of the church was from that pen. Because I had invited this person and this person, and they had invited this person and this person, and we could trace all these people, all these families, many of them still here today, back to that pin. You may look, when God tells you something like that, or you like get a pin, and you're like, oh, that's not going to make any difference. I bet that donkey tied to the post thought, I'll never make any difference. We got to carry the presence of God. You know, you don't have to be the loudspeaker. If that's you, if that's your personality, great. But don't think just because you're not, you can't be used by God. Many people, just through something simple, just like God used that donkey, just like he was made, God's going to use you just like you're made. You don't have to be anybody else. Just be you, but be willing. Amen? Be willing. Because people need what you have. They need who you have. They need who you have. And so I would encourage you, number one thing is pray. Pray for the services on Sunday, all of, not just ours, but all over, that the lost come in. The people who need Jesus the most find him on Sunday. They find him. People's hearts are open on Easter. You got family members, you've got coworkers. Start to pray for them. You know, I read this thing the other day. I thought, man, that's so good. They said, if all your prayers were answered, would anyone else's life be affected? Isn't that good? Do you hear that? If all your prayers were answered, would anyone else's life be affected? Choose a couple of people that you know, and you know they need the Lord, and begin to pray for them. Pray and ask the Lord to move in their life, to let you be the donkey that brings the presence of, brings Jesus, brings the presence of God into their life. And invite. Now's the time. Easter is the time to invite. And then keep praying. You know, many of us were in services one time. I know I was years and years and years ago. And the preacher started talking about receiving Jesus as your Savior. And I raised my hand. And I gave my life to the Lord, just like you did, wherever you were. Or maybe it was a one-on-one situation somewhere. But somewhere along the line, if you're a Christian, a moment came where you said yes to Jesus. And your life was never the same. Doesn't mean it was perfect, but it was never the same. There's a whole lot of people that need to have that moment. And your prayer and my prayer can help it come to pass. So let's pray, let's invite, and let's be where we're supposed to be when the Lord has need of us. Amen? And so if you're here today and you say, I don't think I'm the one, you are the one. You're the donkey of the day. Amen? You're the donkey of the day, and the Lord has need of you. Let's just let that kind of sink in. The Lord has need of me. The Lord has need of me. He has need of my personality. He has need of my quirkiness. He has need of my job where I'm at. He has need of me and my family. He has need of me. Why? Because people need him. Amen? People need him. Let's pray together. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for all the donkeys in this room today, that you would help us. You would help us to carry you in where you are needed. Lord, help us carry you where you're needed. Because we know you have need of us. Or maybe you're here today and you're like the person I was just talking about. You're like I was so many years ago, sitting in a church service, hearing about how much God loves me, hearing about how God carried the sins of the world all for me, hearing that he died on the cross so that I could live a life free of poverty, free of sickness, free of sin. That's what Jesus did. He paid the price for sins that were not his own. They were mine. They were mine. Maybe that's you today, and you're like I was, and like so many of us, and you're like, I want to experience that love. I want to experience that acceptance. I want to be in the family of God. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you today, just like it was me so many years ago, I'm going to ask you to do the same thing that Pastor Roger Murphy asked me to do. He said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want to exchange all of you for all of him, all your weaknesses, all your strengths, everything in exchange for a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, all you got to do is raise your hand. If that's you today, all you got to do is raise your hand. Anybody like that before we move on? Say, that's me. That's me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for all of us that we would be reminded of the miracle of salvation. We would be reminded that without you, we are on our way to hell. Without you, we carry our own burden. Without you, we pay our own price. Let us be reminded of the miracle of salvation, where you pay the price. Oh, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen. Amen. Isn't God good? So let's carry that message. Amen. look forward to next week's service. Going to have some special things planned for our Easter service. We always like to pull out all the stops and just honor the Lord and honor Resurrection Sunday. And so look forward to seeing everybody next week. It's going to be great. Encourage you to invite some friends. We've got invite cards in the back. Grab a few of those and really make an investment in somebody's life. You know, an invitation to me is an investment. You're saying, you know, I care enough about you to invite you somewhere. I care enough about you to make an investment into you by inviting you. Amen? And so I just encourage you to just pray about it. Don't just go and put them on a bunch of cars, you know, at Walmart or something. That's not going to do any good. It's just going to get tossed. You know, really pray about who you hand it to and ask, just tell the Lord, Lord, I want to make an investment in some people's lives. Who would you have me? Because it's not about filling seats. It's not about that. It's about lives being changed. Amen? People are going to hell. Sometimes we can be in church so long, we forget that's a reality. And you may not believe that, but it really doesn't matter what you believe. It's still true. Amen? Some people think just because you don't believe it, you change the truth. You know? That doesn't. There's a whole bunch of people that don't believe the world is round. You know? They believe the world is flat. But that doesn't change that the world is round. So if you don't believe in hell, it doesn't change that it's still there and it still exists. It doesn't change that. Your belief does not change a true fact. Amen? And so there's a lot of people that need the love and the mercy that Jesus has to offer. And so that is what it's about. It's about making an investment in people. I care enough about you. I care about where you're going to spend eternity. I care about you as a human being. And so I want to make an investment in you. I want to invite you. That's what it's about. Amen? Amen. We're going to receive our offering. We do this every Sunday, and we say all the time.